Take your printout, if you will, as we begin this morning. You'll notice the title, The Influence of Evil. I'm going to add one word, the influence and energy of evil. Well, let's begin with the introduction. You'll notice Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. I hope you have something to write with. It is quite interesting this morning. I always have a lot of questions in reference to this particular verse of Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The, underline the word the. It is very important. You'll notice it is not the letter A. We're not talking about a God, one of many. We are talking about the God, which is God the Father and God the Son and actually God the Holy Spirit, the supreme being of all that exist. The Lord, underline the word Lord. The word Lord, when you look it up in the Hebrew language, is the word Yahweh. From Yahweh, we get the word Creator. From Creator, we get the meaning, the existing one. Let me ask you a question. Does God have a point of origin?
No.
He does not. Has God always existed?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Does He depend upon anyone or anything for His existence?
No.
The answer is no. So when you talk about Yahweh, you talk about the Creator of all that exists. He provides for all that exist. Now, the Lord God, underline God. And here's what it means in the Hebrew, this word God. It means the one true God and the supreme God. Secondly, the one who has power over the whole earth and over all people, even the unseen world. The God of Israel, the God with extraordinary powers of vision and intervention. The Lord God is speaking. He's going to speak to the serpent. Now, the word serpent here refers to a physical serpent. Now, if you don't know already, you have a physical serpent in this scripture. You also have a spiritual serpent in this scripture. The Lord God said to the serpent, underline the word the. The word the in the Hebrew refers to one particular snake. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that approval right there. So when you talk about this serpent, we're talking about a very peculiar snake. One that was not really common in the Garden of Eden. Are we in the Garden of Eden here?
Yes.
All right. Does Satan already exist?
Yes.
So you can say that evil existed prior to Adam and Eve. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. The Lord God said to the serpent. So the word the first talks about one particular snake. Now let me ask you something. Why is Satan not specifically named in these scriptures? Why is Satan not specifically named in these scriptures? Well, here's the answer. Because the emphasis here is mankind's responsibility, not on supernatural temptation. This tells us that every human being that is going to be born is going to be responsible to the one supreme living God. Now, will all of us face supernatural temptation at one time or another in our lives? The answer is yes. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. There's something about this serpent that is very, very peculiar. He's not really common. Genesis chapter 3, here's what it says, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty. He was subtle. He was skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. Now I'm going to end right there. So when you talk about this serpent, you're talking about a physical serpent. So you might want to write that down so you can keep the two separated, the physical and the spiritual serpent. All right? So when you talk about the physical serpent here, you're talking about someone who was what? Crafty, shrewd, and cunning. Now let me ask you another question. Is this why Satan chose this particular snake? Had this snake been created by the living God? We just read, the answer is yes. But he was more crafty than any creature he had created. Is that correct? Is that by accident, or are we being set up for the scene that is about to take place with the physical serpent and the spiritual serpent? I believe the scene is being set up right now, and we're about to find out what it's all about. Then when you talk about the spiritual snake, and the spiritual snake is Satan, there's some things you need to know about Satan if you don't already. Number one, the snake with a greater cleverness. When you look up the word cleverness, it means very mentally quick. So here's what I want to say, and I want you to understand. I will never be as clever as Satan. We will never be as intelligent as Satan. We will never be as quickly witted as Satan. So when you are confronted by the spiritual serpent with supernatural temptation, you need to know the Word of God well enough that you can speak it to the spiritual snake. That's the only word that will drive him backwards and out of the scene of life that you are in at the moment where supernatural temptation is taking place. We must understand that. Then you'll notice that the spiritual serpent, Satan, is known as the trickster, always crossing the boundaries that are set by God, always causing everything to be a blur, never any clear vision when he is on the move. The next, he has the power of speech. Satan can speak, and he's very good at it. He has secret knowledge, but is not all-knowing, because Satan, the spiritual serpent, is a created being. All right, let's go back to the printout. The Lord God said, so he's doing the speaking, very important, to the physical serpent, because you have done this, what did he do? He presented a lie to Eve. Adam was standing right there. He heard every word that was said. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I, who's I here? All right? If God says he's going to do something, then you can count on it. And I, the living God of all creation, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient, and I will put enmity, that's open hostility, between you, that is the spiritual serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring. What is the offspring of Satan? It is demons. It is anyone serving his kingdom of darkness. It is anti-God. So Satan is going to have an anti-God family. And God is going to have a family that is going to live by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, which is going to divinely enable him to carry out the Word of God that God has given us. And when we do that, as we are asked to do, then we are going to be victorious in every scene of life we find ourselves in. All right? Between you, the spiritual serpent, and the woman, between your seed or offspring and her. Actually, it is offspring. Now, underline her offspring. Her offspring began with who? With Cain and Abel. But what happens? Cain kills Abel. But humanity goes on. And then Christ is born, not by the seed of man. The seed of man carries with it the old sin nature. So we have that Jesus Christ is of virgin birth. He doesn't have the seed of man. He does not have an old sin nature. He is not capable of sin. So you have Jesus Christ born by the power of Almighty God. So we have her offspring. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you only bruise his heel. So we have spiritual warfare here in Genesis. What does the word Genesis mean? What does the word Genesis mean? It means the beginning of things. So what are we discovering in Genesis? The beginning of spiritual warfare. And who is it going to be between? God and Satan. Is that important? Yes, because what begins in Genesis is going to continue throughout mankind to the very end. So we can expect as human beings, and especially as children of the Lord, to be engaged in spiritual warfare. We're going to be tempted all the time by supernatural temptation. And our responsibility, how we respond to these, we're going to be held accountable for. All right, back to the printout. Number one, the blank serpent is cursed. The physical serpent is cursed. And the blank serpent is cursed. And the spiritual serpent is cursed. So we see right here, we have two curses, one on the physical and one on the spiritual. All right, question. Does Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, point to a moment in history when snakes lost their legs? No. If you have a Bible that teaches you the cultural background of the Scripture, then it will tell you snakes did not lose their legs. Okay, let's read on. Did God remove the legs of snakes? You're afraid to answer now, aren't you? The answer is no. God describes the punishment of the Nakash in figurative language. So do snakes eat dust? No, they do not eat dust. So number two, what happened was this. The Nakash, that's the spiritual serpent, in the Hebrew, Nakash, Satan, was cast down from the peak of the supernatural realm. Now I have to ask you this question. Where was the Garden of Eden located? In the mountain. In the Mount of God. Where is this scene taking place? On the mountain, in the Garden of Eden. Who is there in the Garden of Eden? Satan. He's right there, all right? Keep that in mind. So Satan was cast where? Down, okay? If he was on level ground, like out here, like you've been taught all your good Baptist life, the Garden of Eden was just a nice laid out piece of land, level. Well, how do you get thrown down from something if you're on level ground? Here we go. Satan was cast down. Who cast him down? God. What does that tell you? Is God more powerful than Satan? Why is God more powerful than Satan? Because Satan is a created being. Therefore, God has Satan on a leash. And it is God who determines what Satan is allowed to do. If you want more on that, read the book of Job. Satan was cast down from the peak of the supernatural realm. So Christians must be aware that we have an unseen world that we battle against, okay? Please understand that. Now let's look at Isaiah 14, 9 and 10. Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, which is the realm of the dead. Now, if you have a place to write, like I did here, you can write down hell and you can write down Sheol because they are not the same. Let me start with the word hell. Hell is a place of torment, not torture. Are you confused already? Hell is a place of torment. Write the word torment if you don't have it. What is torment? When you look it up, it is extreme pain. Now, is this extreme pain that is going to be inflicted upon you after you get into hell? Please listen. Torment and torture are not the same. Torment, extreme pain, self-inflicted pain. Get this. Every unbeliever that is sent to hell is sent there because he has brought on self-inflicted pain. Where did he do that? He did it on planet Earth in this life, in the physical fleshly body that you have at this very moment. So the pain the unbeliever will suffer in hell cannot be blamed upon anybody but himself. It was a self-inflicted pain that he brought upon himself. Then there is the word torture. Torture, something that causes pain. Something that inflicts pain upon you in the place of hell. This is not going to happen. You know what? I didn't know that. I learned that myself. All the pain that I would endure if I were an unbeliever in hell is my fault, and I can't blame anybody for it. It is because of my distrust and my disobedience. It is because of my rejection of Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Through that rejection, distrust, and disobedience of Christ as Savior, I inflicted a terrible, extreme pain upon myself unknowingly until the time it happens in hell. Hell is a place of torment, not torture. The worst aspect of hell is an eternity of conscious. Am I going to be alive after death? The answer is yes. Yes. In fact, when you're born into this world, you never die. Some will say, Terry, I just went to a funeral. I looked at the casket. I saw a dead body in there. Let me tell you something. It is the soul and spirit that animates your fleshly body. So therefore, when you're born into this world, your body has a soul and spirit. The soul and spirit cannot die. It is from God. It is eternal. Therefore, when you die physically, your soul and spirit either go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ or they go to a place called Sheol. We'll get to that here in just a moment. So the worst aspect of hell is an eternity of conscious, guilty, shameful separation from God. Listen to this. And all forms of goodness forever. Now here's Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Sheol is the place of the dead, the place of departed souls and spirits. Sheol is a temporary place where souls are kept as they await the final judgment. What is the final judgment? It is the great white throne judgment. Where is it going to take place? Out in space, out in space. When that judgment is done and over, and every unbeliever that was ever born, ever existed, will stand at the great white throne judgment. Get that, please. From that judgment, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Who will be the first cast into the lake of fire? The unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity. And then all the other unbelievers that have ever lived will be cast into hell. So what is Sheol? It is the holding pen. Sheol is a holding pen holding unbelievers until they stand before the great unbelieving throne, the great white throne judgment. And who's going to be seated there? Chad says Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to judge you. What is he going to judge you by? He's going to judge you by the Word of God, with the Word of God. So my friends, if I were you and you don't have a Bible, I would get one, because you're going to be accountable to everything from Genesis to Revelation, somewhere in there somehow. All right, let's go back to the printout, if you will. Sheol below is excited about you to meet you when you come, you tyrant of Babylon. It stirs up the spirits of the dead. Underline the word spirits of the dead. In the Hebrew, it is Raphaim. Raphaim. To greet you, all the leaders of the earth, it raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones in astonishment at your fall. All of them will respond tauntingly and say to you, you have become as weak as we are. You have become like us. Now don't get mixed up. Just stay with me. Who influenced and energized this king that we just read about? His name is Satan. The spiritual serpent. He's still alive. He's still working using the same techniques. Who energized the king of Tyre? Who? Satan. Satan, still at work. Who is energizing and influencing you? I'll let you answer that when you get home. Well, how much of what is happening today is being guided by the unseen world? All of it. The energy and influence of Satan. You look at Portland, Oregon. You look at Black Lives Matter. You look at Antifa. What is the driving force of that? It is the spiritual serpent. Because he is connected to chaos. He is connected to disorder. And when there is chaos and disorder, he is connected to it. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That is the serpent who is loose, the spiritual serpent, who is Satan. And he is on the prowl. For Adam and Eve, the banishment affected the two of them and all their descendants. Are you a descendant of Adam and Eve? Good, then you're affected. Through the present day, instead of living with God as members of his council, are you telling me God had a council on the mount in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely. We humans have struggled for millennia to make sense of a world that often seems to make no sense. The memory of our brief time in the Garden of Eden has echoed down through the long and many centuries since, and it may be the source of our belief that mountains are somehow special, reserved for the gods. They do have special meaning. You'll do well to read about mountains. Eden was a lush, well-watered area where? On the holy mountain of God, where Yahweh presided over his divine council. Now, the council included the first humans along with the loyal Elohim. Underline the word Elohim. It refers to the angels of God. Those who had not sided with chaos. We've talked about chaos and how he was being restrained at this very moment in the beginning of Genesis. During the first rebellion. All right, turn to page 2. At the top of page 2, it says Adam and Eve walked and talked with the supernatural sons of God. Who are the sons of God here? They are the angels of God. That's the easiest way to remember. They are the angels of God. So we have Adam and Eve. And I think a lot of people think that Adam and Eve were all by themselves except for God. But God had a divine counsel there. And Adam and Eve had the privilege of walking with the supernatural sons of God or the angels of God. Do you think we will have that privilege ourselves? I do. And let me describe them. The sons of God, the angels of God, who were beautiful, radiant beings. And some of them were serpentine in appearance. Read Ezekiel. You'll get the meaning of serpentine. All right, here's the point. Number one, the long war between Yahweh and the, what? Angels of God who rebelled is not just about the spirit realm. It's also about whether humanity will be restored to its rightful place. Now, here's the battle that's taking place. And they're trying to keep this from happening. In the seats of the gods. You'll notice that's actually a little g. That's a little G-O-D-S. There's only one capital G. That's God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So that's little gods among the divine council on the holy mountain of God. We see God's battle plans and references to previous skirmishes in the Bible, but a day is coming when he will destroy all enemies. Spiritual warfare. It began between God and Satan. And guess what? It's going to end between God and Satan. So we must understand what took place in Genesis to know it's going to continue and how hard fought it is going to be to keep from happening. Now, Satan fought hard to keep Christ from being born. He fought hard in Genesis chapter 6. And it tells you about the giants and the Nephilim. He says, I need to disrupt the bloodline. If I can do that, then we've got this thing wrapped up. We're going to have a big party and we're going to shout. But God knew all about that before the world was ever created. So he had already planned for that, right? You never catch God by surprise. You never catch God by surprise. And you know what? That same God is in you. So you should never be caught by surprise either. Okay, here we go. Now remember, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, that is granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Well, what does that mean? It means human sexuality and human development are God's will. Human sexuality and human development are God's will, okay? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, that's putting it under your power, and rule over, that's dominate, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now listen closely, and I wish Joe Biden could get this in print. I don't know how long he would remember it to put it into action. But the government needs to listen to what God is fixing to say here. And actually, it would solve our problems. Understand, God did not direct mankind to form into stratified groups. Now, underline the word stratified. I'll give you the meaning of that. It refers to different levels of social class, privilege, or status. Right? Okay. God did not direct mankind to form into stratified groups with one person atop the social pyramid. So what are the Democrats wanting to do now? Yeah, they want to be at the top, want to control, want to be powerful. But you know what? They'd love to have Joe Biden, I'm sure, there, but Joe Biden won't last long. Back to the printout. We weren't to take dominion over each other. As Jesus told his disciples thousands of years later, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. What a message to send to Washington. Get off of your power horse. Get off of your horse of greed. Understand, we're all on the same level. Now, God has given you government. We find that in Romans. He has established government. So government is a divine thing that has come by God, but it is being misused today. Adam and Eve were created to work the land. God designed humans to be self-sufficient, growing our own food. Now, jack that up to today. Growing our own food, being responsible, I'm adding this, for holding a job, not being afraid to work, tending our own flocks, minding our own business, being busy about working and taking care of the family, and helping each other whenever and however we're needed. When you live that kind of life, you're too busy to dominate your neighbors. And since you don't depend on handouts for your family's daily bread, government cannot dictate to you. Why do you think you're getting all these stimulus checks? Why do you think the government wants to keep the stores closed and not allow them to open, restaurants shut down? They want you dependent upon a handout or a payout. So next time we have to vote on somebody, who's going to not vote for the hand that feeds you? You say, man, if I don't vote for this Democrat, I won't get a check in the mail anymore. Well, let me tell you something. There's worse things than that. My friends, God didn't mean it to be that way. And that's why as Americans, especially as Republicans, we have the right to stand up and say, open everything back up. This is the way God intended it. We have the freedom to make our choices here in the United States of America and actually all over the world. You are being controlled by a government that knows nothing about what government is. Back to the printout. From the point of view of the fallen realm, destroying the world was much easier when you only had to manipulate a handful of useful idiots who then convinced the rest of the people to do things your way. That is taking place, as I have just read this, also in Washington. And here's the point. Satan and his demons are still corrupting humanity to try and make it unfit for God's purposes. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you've given us and blessed us with. We are thank you for words that you give us from your word, words of truth and words of reality, words that tell us how we should be living. And it is not under the thumb of government. That government was established by you to protect citizens of the United States of America and therefore to provide us an atmosphere of freedom so we would be able to work as you have asked us to work to take care of our family and others. Father, I pray, America, wake up. You're being dumbed down by a government that knows nothing about the Word of the living God. And may the Word of God be exposed and presented and communicated with authority and holy boldness for your glory and for the development of Christianity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.